Morning.
Morning.
How are y'all doing this morning? Just want to go ahead and just let everybody know, if we have any visitors here this morning, if you look in the back of your seat, there is a blue card, visitor's card that we'd like for you to fill out. You can just leave it on the seat at the end of the service. That way we have a record of you being here with us today. If you would, we'd just appreciate it if you would fill that out so we know you're here today. Song we just sang, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Starts off talking about there's nothing worth more. No thing can compare. That word nothing kind of scares me, and I'll tell you why. I'll just give you a little background on this week. Up until a couple of days ago, somebody would say, what are you preaching on Sunday? And I'd say, I have nothing. That's kind of a scary thing, you know. Billy was asking me about music, and I'm like, can't help you. I'm sorry. I'm not sure where I'm going with this. You ever been in a situation where you have nothing? Where you feel like you're down to nothing? It happens. I mean, as long as you're living this life on this earth, you're going to come into situations like that. Y'all agree with that? Because I was talking to Danny yesterday. We were driving back from Wichita Falls, and, you know, you drive back, and we've had all this rain, but I said, at the same time, this earth that we live in, this life we live, is just dry. It can get just dry at times. And, you know, just you can be going along and doing fine, and all of a sudden you just feel dusty and dry like you have nothing. That's what I want to talk about this morning. You know, I stood here a second ago, and y'all were kind of starting to look at me, and we don't really like when nothing happens. You know, I just stood here. I started seeing some reactions, not major, but, you know, people, is he going to say anything? You know, start looking uncomfortable. Some people thinking, well, I'm just going to leave if he's not going to preach. You know? But fact is, we get uncomfortable whenever we're expecting something and nothing happens. And what I'm going to tell you is, I hope you came expecting this morning. Did anybody come expecting this morning? Amen. And here's what we can talk about. You may have come expecting God to show up in a powerful way, and I know He will for some of us. I pray that that happens for you. You may have come in here this morning not knowing what to expect. But I'll tell you, if you're willing to open your heart this morning, that's when He can show up the strongest. And some of you may have come in here with absolutely no expectations this morning. And with all that being said, in all these cases, I hope we get more than we expected. The title of my sermon today is Down to Nothing. And the reason I talk about this, you know, I talked about it being dry, about it being dusty. I've been facing some things, and not to make it on a personal level, you know, but I have to share this. Some people in the church, the prayer team, I've received some great messages of encouragement this week. And you get to a time whenever you're living your life, you get to that point where you feel like there's nothing. And sometimes it's hard to ask for help. Sometimes you don't want to. We have that pull yourself up by your bootstraps mentality. And I have that, especially working where I work. You just get that way. But there are things, without going into details, that in my life that are really causing issues. It's been distractions. But what I've seen this week, and I've got to point this out, is I was driving to work the other day thinking about these things. And I finally thought, you know what, I've been praying about them, but I'm going to ask for some help. So I started thinking, God, who do you want me to contact about this? And He gave me four names. I sent those four people a text and said, I really need prayer. I don't do this very often, but I'm sending this. I need prayer. And I started getting responses back from those guys immediately. What's funny about that is that night I was reading, and there's a pastor named Mark Hankins in Alexandria, Louisiana. I love his book. And it said something about having to have four crazy friends to help you out. Why he gave me four names that day, I don't know. But basically what he was talking about was the men who lowered the man down to Jesus, his four crazy friends that helped him out, that were just bold enough to do it. So whether those are my four crazy friends, I don't know, but they did respond. So that was kind of a neat thing. But the sermon today is Down to Nothing. What I learned this week, and what I asked God for, is just some clarity. I asked Him for protection. I asked Him for boldness to do what I had to do. And, you know, I can't share details of all of it, but I watched God work in incredible ways this week. He revealed some things to me. And every day when I went in, as I was telling Billy the other day, I'm having peace in the midst of chaos. And that's a good feeling. When you know you're going into a situation that's going to be tough and you feel that peace, it's incredible. So my sermon today is down to nothing. And I'm going to give you some examples here of some people in the Bible that were down to nothing. You start off in the Old Testament with Joseph. I read this other day. It said he was down to nothing. He lost his freedom, was sold into slavery, wrongly accused and thrown into jail. He was at the bottom of the barrel. He was innocent in a foreign country. But God was up to something in Joseph's life. He blessed Joseph even in prison, so whatever he did prospered. He gave him the gift of dream interpretations. He even interpreted the dreams of the baker and cupbearer. And when the Pharaoh needed interpretation for his troubling dreams, he delivered. So basically, whenever Joseph was down to nothing, God was up to something. Think about Job. He was down to nothing. He lost everything, his livestock, his wealth, his children, everything but his wife. He was down to nothing. But God was up to something. And because of Job's faith, God restored twice what Job lost. So think about that. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were down to nothing when King Nebuchadnezzar condemned them to death in a fiery furnace because they stood for the truth and what was right. But God was up to something. Think about Peter. He denied Christ 3 times. That would put you down to nothing real quick. He felt like he was a failure. He was at the bottom of the barrel, but God was up to something. And we read the story where Jesus met Peter and he restored him, asking 3 times, "Do you love me?" Paul and Silas were severely flogged, thrown into prison. They were down to nothing in that dark prison. It says about midnight, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They were down to nothing and they were praising and singing. Then it says there was a violent earthquake. The prison doors flew open. The chains fell off all the prisoners. And the guard was about to take his life, thinking they had escaped, when Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And as a result, the jailer and his household became believers and were baptized. So when they were down to nothing, guess what? God was up to something. You know, there are so many things in life that we're not sure if we can face. When difficulties come, we just have to trust and know that God is equipping us to handle those things, but we have to rely on Him. I read this the other day, when your heart is anchored to the heart of God, you will withstand all the storms of life. And there will be storms. And the reason for that is because when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Now, if you've been here any length of time, you've heard Jeff, he prays this a lot. He'll start off a prayer by saying, "Jesus, we turn to you." Why? Because we have nowhere else to turn. I've heard him say that several times, and I've thought this many times. Here's what we do when we feel like we have nowhere else to turn. That's when we turn to Him. But what we should do is know that in every situation, no matter what we're facing, we have nowhere else to turn. Just think about it that way. No, it's not when we feel like we have nowhere else to turn. We absolutely have nowhere else to turn but to God to get us through this life. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 56. I said all that to lead into this story. I love the sound of Bible pages turning. Even though I'm up here with an iPad, but that's not. Before we talk about this, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you today just because we have nowhere else to turn, God. And God, I just pray this morning as we look into this story, as we talk about having nothing, God, we just realize that we have everything in you. We can say we're down to nothing. We can feel like we are, God, but if we truly focus on you and truly love you and truly trust what you did for us, God, we know that we have everything. God, just awaken us to that this morning, you know. So I talked earlier, God, if we came expecting things, I just pray that you'd show up in an incredible way and just go beyond anything we ever expected this morning. God, just stand me out of the way this morning. Just use this message for your glory. I thank you for the worship time this morning. I thank you for every part of this service. I thank you for those that you brought in this morning that want to be in your presence, God. We love you and we give you honor and praise. All God's people say, amen. Now you get to Psalm 56, and when we read this, David was down to nothing. He was a prisoner in a foreign land. King Saul had branded him as an outlaw. He's been on the run fleeing for his own life, and he runs right into the Philistine army and is captured. Now, about this time, I don't know what you'd be thinking if you were in his situation. You know, he's already been a thorn in their side. You know, at this point, he had already killed their best warrior, Goliath. So, you know, it was already an enemy situation. So, I mean, I would be thinking like this. I didn't sign up for this. I don't know what we're doing. You know, God, you said I was going to be a king, and here I am, captive. You know. But at this point, David had nowhere else to turn but to the Lord. David was down to nothing. And here's what he said beginning in verse 1. He said, "Be merciful to me, O God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My slanderers pursue me all day long. They are attacking me in their pride. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? All day long they twist my words. They are always plotting to harm me. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, eager to take my life. On no account let them escape in your anger, O God. Bring down the nations. Record my lament. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this, I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust, and I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I'm under vows to you, O God. I will present my thank offerings to you. For you have delivered me from death, and my feet walk, or in my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Now you look back in verses 1 through 4, and David basically asked God for mercy. He's in this situation, and that's what he's asking. Basically, he's asking for help. He's saying, "Hey God, I could use a little help here. You know, I'm getting kicked around. Everybody's out to get me. What are you going to do about it?" And I said it earlier, in verses 3 and 4, what does he start doing? He starts praising God. That's something that's hard to do in those situations. He says, "When I'm afraid, I will trust in you." And then in verse 4, he says, "In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid." He says, "What can mortal man do to me?" It's a pretty bold statement. You know, he's declaring that God is the ultimate authority in this situation. But just in our human nature, he does just what most of us would do. He goes ahead in verses 5 through 7 and reminds God again how tough it is. He says, "All day long they twist my words. Their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life." And it says, "On no account let them escape. In your anger, O God, bring down the nations." So just to remind him, you know, I am having problems here. I know I praised you, but, you know, God, just remind you one more time. I've got issues here. Don't tell me you've never done that. But then he continues to praise him in this situation. And he also finishes by thanking God because he knew God had a plan and would deliver him. He also knew something that we all need to know and remember. And if you don't get anything else out of this, think about this. God not only knows what's going on in your life, he also cares about what's going on in your life. Hang on to that. Now, we were told in Scripture that David was a man after God's own heart. But we can take heart in this, just as I just said. This man, after God's own heart, who had killed a giant and would be a king, was still just a man. He still faced fear and he still cried out to God in that fear. So we have the ability to do that same thing. As I said just a minute ago, in verses 10 through 13, David knew that God would rescue him and he was grateful. And he was offering up his thanks to God for keeping his promise. Beginning in verse 10, he said, "In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I will not be afraid." And again he said, "What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, O God, I will present my thank offerings to you. For you have delivered me from death, and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Here's the thing. David was facing fear. He was facing a bad situation, but he had hope. He had a hope in God who keeps His promises. You know, I talked earlier about Joseph and about Paul and Silas. He had a hope in the same God that took Joseph from the prison to the palace. He had the same hope in a God that shook the prison walls for Paul and Silas. He has the same hope, and we can have the same hope in the God that reminds us in Jeremiah 29:11-13 of this. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Verse 12 says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, you try to seek God daily, but have you ever said, "I'm going to seek you with all my heart"? You know, just like David, we need to remember that God's word is full of promises, and He keeps those promises. I just want you to listen to this. These are some of the promises that are in Scripture that we can get a hold of. These are things that I told somebody at work the other day. I was trying to explain something to them, and every time I told them something, they would come up with some reason we couldn't do it. So I finally told them, "You know, you've got a problem for every solution I come up with." But the good thing is, God has a solution for every problem we can come up with. Listen to this. You may say it's impossible. God says all things are possible. You may say, "I'm too tired." God says, "I will give you rest." You may say, "Nobody really loves me." God says, "Guess what? I love you." You may say, "I can't go on," but God says, "My grace is sufficient, and my power is made perfect in your weakness." You may say, "I can't figure things out," and God says, "I will direct your steps." You can say, "I can't do it," but God reminds us we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. You may say, "I'm not able," but God says, "I am able." You may say, "It's not worth it," but God reminds us it will be worth it. You can say, "I can't forgive myself," but the good news there is God forgives you. You may say, "I can't manage." God says, "I will supply all your needs." You may say, "I'm afraid." God reminds us He has not given us a spirit of fear. You may say, "I'm always worried and frustrated." God says, "Cast all your cares on me because I care for you." You may say, "I don't have enough faith." He says, "I've given everyone a measure of faith." You may say, "I'm not smart enough." God says, "I give you wisdom." You may say, "I feel all alone." God says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." This is something, you know, I can stand up here and tell you these promises all day long. I can tell you what the Bible says, what God promises us. But they really don't mean a thing if we don't catch a hold of them, people, right? If we don't really get into the Word and figure out what those promises are and really catch hold of what He's trying to tell us, it doesn't mean a thing. That's something I've had to deal with the last couple of weeks. It's like I know all this stuff, and you know, you talk about head knowledge of God's promises, but to really let them absorb and get into your heart, that's where the difference comes. You can know something all day long, but to truly trust it and believe it. And you know, I talked last week about praying for opportunities. I kind of gave you a challenge to do that. You know, this week, I guess I'm going to give you another one. Just try to catch a hold of these promises. Start looking at them. Start trying to figure out. I mean, God promises us so many things, and we can miss them if we're not careful or if we don't truly reach out and take a hold of them. Now, this situation I've talked about facing at work. Back in 2006, there was a movie that came out, and it is one of my favorite movies. It's number one, it's a football movie, but, you know, it's a movie called Facing the Giants. Hard to believe that was 2006. That's been a long time ago. But that movie still stands today. And it's one of my favorite movies. But, you know, beyond the scene of, you know, give me 10 more steps, you know, winning the state championship, whatever it is, there was one scene when I first saw this movie that resonated with me. And it still does. And as a matter of fact, I caught myself driving to work the other day praying about my situation, and I started quoting this movie, this very line. And I'm going to show you this video. Hopefully, we were having some issues before the service, but I want y'all to watch this.
My rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be safe from my enemies. Lord Jesus, would you help me? I need you. Lord, I feel like there's giants of fear and failure just staring down at me, waiting to crush me. And I don't know how to beat them, Lord. I'm tired of being afraid. Lord, if you want me to do something else, show me. If you don't want me to have children, so be it. But you're my God. You're on the throne. You're going to have my hopes and my dreams. Lord, give me something. Show me something. If the Lord never gives us children, will you still love Him?
Two minutes of a two-hour movie, and y'all give me a minute. That scene, even after 9 years or however long it's been since that movie came out, I watched that scene and I just, give me something. Those three words. Have you ever felt that way? As I said, I drove to work the other morning, just, and I found myself quoting that. You know, He says, "You can have my hopes and my dreams. Just give me something." What you see there is sheer desperation. Knowing that you have nowhere else to turn but to the God who made all these promises I talked about, knowing without Him we have nothing. And we sang a song earlier, and music is such a part of my life, and I was listening to these words as I was getting ready to come up here. The song "Breathe." I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. Are we truly desperate for Him today? Are we lost without Him? Think about it. When it seems like everything that can go wrong is going wrong, remember this. God is for you. When it seems like nobody cares about what's going on in your life, God is for you. But again, if we don't reach out and just out of desperation grab a hold of those promises and just seek His face in all things. We can read scriptures like this. Romans 8, 31 through 39 says this. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, He was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Did y'all hear that? He's interceding for us. I love that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that a promise? Powerful promise. So are you a conqueror? That's what I want to know. Do you feel like a conqueror? Some days I don't. I have to be honest. But I have the promise that I am. You know, when we go through difficulties, when we're in a valley, and that's what it feels like. I was talking about being dry or whatever. When you're in a valley, sometimes it seems like we're on our own. When the valley is so deep that it seems to never run out and the mountaintop is out of sight, let me give you a little secret on that one. You're never going to see the mountaintop unless you look up. Think about that. Psalms 121, 1 and 2 says this, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Where does your help come from today? Now, as I prepared this week, last couple of days, I won't say this week, because as I told you earlier this week, I had nothing and I was a little nervous about it. Just started thinking about things, and you know, God's going to show up. And I had no doubt that I was going to have something for this morning, even though I felt like I had nothing. I just had to trust Him. And, you know, I had no intention of stepping up here and trying to make it a personal thing with the things I'm facing. And, you know, I continue. What I've talked about is still an uphill battle. It's not over. I would ask for your prayer. But with that being said this morning, I think a lot of other people in here need prayer too. You're facing things. You know, I'm not trying to highlight mine over anybody else's. I'm not trying to make it more important because we all face things. We all have things going on in our life. And, you know, no matter what you may be facing, God wants you to know it's only temporary. So what we need to do is just simply rest in His ability from here on out instead of our own. I'm going to have the praise team go ahead and come up. And I'm just, you know, talking about prayer. I believe there are people in here that need prayer this morning. You know, whether it's coming up to the altar this morning, the altar is always open. But you may need that person next to you to pray. You may need to stay after the service today and pray with somebody. You know, this message is kind of short, but I think it's going to allow us time afterwards. You know, if you need to pray with somebody, you can get with me, you can get with Billy, you can get with anybody, and we will take the time and pray with you because we don't know your situation. And as I said earlier, it's not always easy to ask for help. But I've learned an important lesson in the past week that when you ask, God's going to show up. And it's pretty incredible. So no matter what you're facing, remember this. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. When you're down to nothing, you have nothing to lose. When you're down to nothing, give God everything because He gave everything for you. Would y'all pray with me? Father, we come to you this morning just God, I know there are situations in this room that, you know, I know people need you. God, we all need you. And, you know, it may not be as severe as even the movie clip with giants all around you, or, you know, but we all reach times, God, when we know that we can't do things under our own strength. God, help us this morning just to grab hold of your promises, just to know that you're for us. God, just to know that you have plans for us. Plans not to harm us, but to prosper us, God. God, I just pray for anybody that's trying to do things on their own this morning that surrender is not an easy word, God. It's not easy for any of us, but I just pray that we would. God, just whatever you're up to in our lives, in our daily activities, God, just allow us to step out of the way and let you have your way in those things. God, in a land that's dusty and dry, God, just help us to have more of a thirst for you. God, we love you and we give you praise this morning in all things. Your precious name. Oh,
come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy.
Talked earlier about it not being easy to ask, and I know there are probably people that need prayer, and it's not always easy to take that step to come to the altar. But I just feel like as we leave here today, if you need prayer, Billy will be here. I'll just find somebody. We'll be up here at the front for a little bit. You can stay where you're at if you want to pray with somebody around you. I just know that. Without God, none of this is possible. I've watched I just know that we gotta have Him. I know that we can say all day we believe, we can say all day we trust, but if we don't truly reach out and take a hold of that, we're never gonna experience the full power of what He can do in our lives. And I hope you all want that. I hope you all want to see what He can do in your lives if you allow Him. Now, as we leave here this morning, I just pray that you all have a great week. I pray that you're all blessed as you leave here today. If you need prayer, just let one of us know. God bless y'all. Y'all have a great day.
Come, Lord Jesus. as I